Amen. Greetings, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Pentecost, will be taken from Colossians. And we're going to read from the first chapter of Colossians. Colossae was basically a smaller town. It was very well known for imports and exports of wool products and things like that. It was basically about 120 miles south of like Lydia and area like that. It was not really a huge town, but it was mostly Gentile. And Paul had heard that they had received the word, and it's awesome when we read this text how much we're going to see the care of Paul, even though he had never been there. So he was concerned for them very much, and he sends a letter to encourage them of who they are in Christ. And being a Gentile nation, that was very rare for them to hear something like that from such a staunch, if we could say, Israelite at one time. But remember, Paul was now called to reach out to these Gentile areas. And basically, around the 60s, after this letter had gotten there, the town was pretty much destroyed by an earthquake. And so we don't hear much about it anymore. They tried to rebuild, but it didn't have great traction, if you could say it that way. The next town over, Laodicea, basically started becoming the big popular area. And so that town continued to grow. In fact, a lot of people merged from here over to there. So it's not like, to me, it would be more or less like when I tell people, oh, no, I'm not from Houghton, I'm from Tapiola. And that's kind of more or less what it was like. But reading in the name of Jesus, we'll go from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, we'll read through verse 14. You can remain seated for this as it's an epistle teaching. And continuing in Jesus' name. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brothers in Christ and Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Because of this hope is laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in a whole world it's bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day that you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved servant, who is faithful minister of Christ in your behalf. And he has made known to us the love and the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let's unite hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us. And we ask by your Spirit that you would speak to us in truth. And allow, Father, that this truth would set us free. Sanctify us in this truth. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So as we said, this is Colossae. It's not really a big popular area, but it has a lot of impact. And it seems that this Epaphras, he turns and he actually receives the word from hearing from the other apostles, or Paul, and now he has gone to this area and he's sharing the gospel. And when he's sharing this gospel, it seems it has a great impact with the people, and they're believing and they're receiving. But then we also see that dealing with this book that Paul was obviously reached out to because there were those that were being heretics and pressing a false narrative in this area. And Paul is trying to encourage them. Paul is trying to encourage them that you are saved by grace through faith. In fact, Paul is an extremely interesting individual because he writes most of the epistles. His letters are encouraging, so encouraging, to Ephesus, to Rome, to Colossae, so many places that really needed to hear, if you could say it this way, an encouragement. Many of these places had received the word. Many of these people have received it and believed it. And we see that this can happen in our day and age, that we can go out there or we can come to church and we can proclaim the word and someone really receives. How powerful that is. And in this setting, it's maybe, I want to say, a little easier when you're amongst your friends, you're amongst believers, you're amongst the same mindset. But then we step outside of these doors. And when we step outside of these doors, we have a tendency to go home and turn on Fox, turn on CNN, turn on something. And next thing you know, we start seeing what's going on around us in the world. And we start seeing all kinds of different agendas out there in this world, and it starts causing us a struggle. And a struggle in the aspect of, is what we believe true? And we can see it not just in the outside world. If we would actually be honest with ourselves, we could see it very plainly. I'm not going to fall. But we could see it very plainly that even in, if we could say it, churches, we do the same. That we oftentimes can be so excited about somebody coming to faith and having an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, as I've shared with you before, not much longer, and maybe you're not going to the right church. Is Christ divided? Apostle Paul says no. Were any of you baptized in his name? He says no. And so the reality of it is we can get very plainly how this can happen. You know, we turn and we see, even when we start talking about outreach. Outreach, I would say, in the UP is a difficult thing. It really is. Because who are we reaching out to? A majority of people, I would say, up here, maybe I'm wrong, but go to church. And we have a tendency to say outreach to other people that are already going to church. Our outreach can be oftentimes to, our church is doing it a little better. That's one of the things that I really kind of chuckle about in the ministry. It's very often, first and foremost, I'm told this is my church. It's not my church. It's the church that I attend. It's the church I serve. It's God's church. And I understand that. I can fall for that. Well, up at my church, well, it's not my church. It's God's. But then we can also find out how, when we start having discussions, well, at our church, we do it this way. Well, wonderful. Doesn't mean you're right. Doesn't mean you're wrong. These things, more or less, ought to offer a lot of the things that we have a tendency to do. But we have a tendency to draw lines in the sand for people and say, if you're not doing it this way, then you're out. And Paul says, I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I know nothing else. And I wonder how real that is to us. I'm saying for myself. Is that real? So the Apostle Paul, he is trying to engage people and encourage them right where they're at. And he's trying to engage them and say that really, as believers, don't start looking back. Don't start listening to the naysayers. Don't start listening to everything else. Listen to the word that was brought to you, the hope of the gospel. And, you know, it could be as simple as, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save it. That is the gospel. So Paul is opening up here with a greeting, very powerfully. He says, Paul, an apostle. This means a sent one. This is going back to the traditional style of being sent forth by God. He says, I'm an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ. by my own ability. Is that what he says? We should leave the text up on the screen, don't you think? Maybe that's something we could talk about later. It doesn't say that. He says very plainly, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, because God wanted me to be. And this didn't come easy for him. Remember, he was persecuting the church not long ago. When he was Saul, he thought he was on the right path. He thought he was telling people how to do things right, and he was going to stop this foolishness of Jesus Christ and the ministry that he saw going on. That's what he thought. How many times do we have those kind of thinking? Well, you know, they're a good group over there, but they're really doing things whacked. Name it. If it's against Scripture, it's whacked. But if it's not against Scripture. Last week we talked about those that even when in the Gospel of John that his disciples turned around and they saw that there was someone casting out demons in Jesus' name. And they said, should we call down, you know, we told them to stop. Not call down fire, that's another story. We told them to stop. And Jesus says, if they're not against us, then they're for us. It's either Jesus Christ or it's not. So Paul says, I am an apostle, a sent one of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He says, and also, I'm with Timothy, our brother. Which is really interesting because he always calls him a son. But in this application, he's saying he's your brother. Timothy, in reality, is on your plane. He says, I'm speaking to the saints, those that are set apart for a purpose, sanctified. And in Christ Jesus, we are saints. We are sanctified. We are set apart for the purpose. The purpose is to glorify God. He says, so I'm speaking to the saints, he says, the faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae. So he's not talking to the unbelievers. He's not talking to the rest of the world. He's talking directly to these individuals that have received the word of faith, believed the word of faith, and have been encouraged. He says, now I'm talking to you. And this is something that we need to remind ourselves with also. Not everybody's going to be on our plane. Not everybody's going to be on our level. But if we are believers in Christ, we are not against each other. We are for each other. He says, the first thing I want you to understand, this is not a hope, this is a promise. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. He's telling them, he's not asking them. Because of this faith, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, there is grace for you. You are standing in the rubric of grace because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And because of this grace, you are now at peace with God the Father. Do we live like this? Or do we oftentimes think that we're under persecution or struggle or difficulty? You, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, have appeased God. Oh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? He is satisfied in the work of Christ. In your behalf. Then he does something that I think is interesting. We always thank God. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. He's talking to a different congregation that he has never been to. Seems like oftentimes in our humanists, we're in competition with everybody else. But we are the same body. We are children of the same Father. We have the same shepherd. As we may say, we may dwell in different fields, but we are still sheep of the same shepherd. And this is what he really brings forward. He says, we're always thanking God. He says, we thank God for you and we pray for you. How often do we do that? Lord, be with them. Encourage them. We just had a slight prayer now for Caleb. But will we remember Eastside all in the upcoming year as they take on convention? Will we remember South Range? Do we remember Lorium as Jay is seeking to retire someday? Do we pray for them? And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But what I'm saying is it's not a competition. Do we pray for Evangel? St. Peter and Paul. He says, we're always thanking God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of what? Your faith. Your faith in Christ Jesus. He says, and of the love that you have for what? All the sanctified, all the saints, all those who believe. We get up and we, you know, kind of universally pray for all the Christian congregations in the world. It's a huge lesson for me. When I came to this congregation, actually over 13 years ago, believe it or not, might be time for you guys to get a change. But the reality of it is, when I came to this congregation, now that I see Steve and Joyce here, I'm going to pick on them. There's two things that I remember when I first came here. I grumbled because I didn't get a glass of water, remember? And they gave me a flask with my name on it. And I've never drank from that yet. I should someday, just to flip people out. But also, the fact of it is, when I first got here, two people came to pray for me. Ed Holkinen, my former chairman, and Steve Wilson from down at, he was at Vangel down by campus. He came here, sought me out, heard I was a new pastor in this area, and he came in my office and had a prayer for me. That has impacted me for years. And so, really, this is what he's talking about. Steve didn't see it as a competition. He came up here to encourage me as a pastor, a young pastor, in a congregation that I probably had no business running. But God has blessed us. But could it not be those prayers? Why aren't there more pastors doing this? You know, I'm just as guilty. I'm not saying I'm not. But this is really what Paul is saying. We are continually praying for you. We're lifting you before because we hear about your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for one another. He says, this is extremely important. Why do you have this? Because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. It's not about just this earthly life, but rather that we would understand that we have a reservation in heaven by the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, and of this you have heard before the word of truth, the gospel. You receive this all by the preaching. Even as Paul would say in another place, through the foolishness of preaching. You know, it's interesting. We just came through a very cool time, an interesting time, that we had so many different styles of preachers here because we had the convention. And I was amazed at how many of the preachers that came to the convention, almost every one of them preached. And I was in the kitchen, so I didn't get to hear 99% of them. So I've been listening to them. They're not all the same. Some preachers are quite eloquent. They have words that I have to look up. But powerful messages. Beautiful messages. We have some like me that stumble on words and just say what they're thinking, and maybe that's not the healthiest. But you know what? They were awesome too. We have some that are a little more monotone. We have some that are a little more excited. We have some that bring in a lot of stories. Some that just preach only Scripture. But if we were to be willing to listen, we could receive from every one of them. We all have different styles. We all have different ways. But we have one God, one Savior, and that's who we proclaim. And Paul is saying, we're lifting you in prayer because we're excited that you received this word. He says, this hope, this word of the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world is bearing this fruit and increasing. In other words, he's saying, this whole surrounding area, it's taken off. It's taking off like wildfire. And we may doubt that because we think Christianity is really probably fading because that's the way things seem to be, right? This is 2025. And here we are, listening to the gospel message, the one that gave hope to our ancestors. It's not dying. It's very much alive. Styles may change, situations may change, but the word is consistent and the message is true. He says, so Really, it's taken off like wildfire. He says, throughout the world. He says, and it also does among you, since you've heard it and understood the what? The grace of God. The unmerited favor. That's who we are. Well, proclaimers of grace. That we enter into this world and we show the people that God loves them. God desires for relationship with them. That he knows them. And yes, there's difficulties. And there are struggles. And when we look to ourselves, yes, we will fail. But we don't look to ourselves. We don't look to religion of men. We don't look to a building. We look to the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, so, since you've understood the grace of God in its full truth, just as you learn from Epaphras, I hate it. You practice these words and then they get you because you practice them too much. But Epaphras, right? He's our beloved fellow servant. He's mentioned twice here, actually, in Colossians. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. There's not a lot of information about him. But this is the key. He heard the word. And he shared it. It's not about the styles. Apostle Paul himself says, I don't talk with eloquent speech. And he's not saying it's wrong to. I remember I struggle immensely with the way I preach at times. I have to be honest with you. And I told this to one of the elders in the Federation. He was on the central board. And I told him, I wish I could be like this guy. And he gave a very beautiful answer. He said, Jesse, God has created you to be who you are and him to be who he is. You be you. Enjoy the gift that's in front of you. I mean, today happens to be me. In a couple weeks, it's going to be Mark. In a few more weeks, it could be Dan, I'm not sure. In a few more weeks, it'll be, hopefully, Steve. I got a lot of places I'll be going, so. I'm talking October, so don't get nervous yet. But that's the reality of it, is we are here to hear the message of God, not to listen to styles of people. And so he turns around, he says, you've heard this. He says, you've learned it from our servant. He says, he's faithful minister in Christ on your behalf. He's not ministering his own ideas. He's a faithful minister of Christ. Of Christ. He says, and he's made it known to us. So he reported back to them. They got a spirit of love. They love the body of Christ. He says, so, ever since we've heard about this, we haven't stopped praying for you. That's our goal. That's our position. Now, I've told this to elders in the nursing home. They often turn around and say, I don't feel like I have a value here. I'm just waiting, and I've had it said to me, I'm waiting to die. But I try to encourage them, and I tell them, you do have a great value. You have a huge value. And I'm only going to give you one example of that. Look at the world. It's crazy. We're all running around from thing to thing and trying to get the next thing that makes us feel good or whatever else. But you have the opportunity to pray. To pray for our nation, to pray for our people, to pray for our church. You have the opportunity. God has slowed you down to pray. What about us? Prayer is extremely powerful. And I'm saying this for a reason. Where's Paul when he wrote this? Where's Paul when he wrote Ephesians? He's in prison. And how many times do we think, oh, when we're in this situation, whatever our prison may be, it might be our body, it might be our mind, it might be our finances, that we can't run out and do big mission work, we can't do this, we can't do that. Paul didn't let that stop him. He uses this opportunity to encourage the churches around him. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know what our prisons are, but God can use us. He can use us immensely. And so he says, when we heard about this, we've never stopped, ceased praying for you. We've continued to pray for you. Excuse me. Asking that you may be filled. Encouragement, that you'd be filled with knowledge of his will, what he desires for his body, what he desires for his church. He says that you would receive spiritual wisdom, that you wouldn't be fooled anymore, that any of this heretic thinking that's going on around you won't have an impact on you. Know your word. Trust your word. Believe your word. When we even hear preachers get up and start telling us some foolishness, we should have the discernment by the power of his word and his spirit to say, that's silly. That's silly. He says that we would have this knowledge of his spiritual wisdom and understanding. So to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. Then we could take this, right? What do we do with it oftentimes? We can, as human beings, turn this into a legalism. Well, now I must look the look. I must walk the walk. I must talk the talk. I don't think that's what he's talking about. How do we walk in a manner worthy to the Lord? What do we do to do the works of God? They ask him in the Gospel of John. I've told this to you 113 times. What must we do the works of God? Believe in him who he has sent. Very good, Judy. You get an A+ today. This is walking worthy. To trust him. To believe his word in spite of everything else around you. To believe his word in spite of man's doctrines. To believe his word. That he loves you. That he desires for restoration for you. And that there is much more for your life than what this world can offer. He says, to walk worthy, in a manner worthy to the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in knowledge, trusting, reading, studying, knowing that God is on our side. He says, I'm praying that you get strengthened in all power, that you would lean solely upon him, that you'd be strengthened. He says, according to what? Not our might, not our ability. He says, his glorious might, that we would lean solely upon him, that it would be in him and him alone, that we would have all endurance, that we would have patience, and believe it or not, joy. That we could have joy in spite of what's going on around us. You know, I wasn't just speaking flattery when I spoke of my sister Norma. The situations of her life, I've watched her, and she'll get, forgive me, Norma, but I have to say it, she still has joy. That has been an example to me for years, watching someone like Norma. It's not her, it's God, it's the spirit within, that we can find joy in difficulty. Paul's talking to a church that is being hammered with false doctrines, being told they're wrong. And he's saying, I want you to have the wisdom of God, the patience of God, the strength of God, that you can still have joy in spite of all that. I don't know what your difficulty is. I know we have them. My wife makes a statement quite often, and I thought she was crazy, but I think she's right. You can choose joy. You can. Look to how blessed you are in Christ Jesus, and you can choose joy. He says that we would have patience and joy. As Christians, do we have that joy? Is the joy of our Lord our strength? Giving thanks to the Father, just praising him for everything he's done. Because what has he done? He made you qualified. He qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Goes back to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Jesus came into the world as a light. He says, really, he has given you the ability to be saved. He's done it all for you. He's delivered us out of the dominion of darkness that we honestly could be transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He says, in whom we've been bought back. Each and every one of us by the finished work of Jesus Christ has been bought back. Do you see how valuable you are? God loved you and he paid your debt 100%. How did he do that? He gave you the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus paid for the penalty of your sin. This is who we are. This is why we can have joy. I am assured by the blood of Christ that if I die today, I am going to heaven. And that I will receive all the rewards that probably, I'm not even going to say probably, I don't deserve. But God bestows upon me because he loves us. What are we looking at? Do we have that joy? Do we have that peace? Do we look to our Savior? Or are we still listening to the heretics Don't listen to them. They're lying. This is the goal, that we would understand that we've been bought and we are forgiven by Jesus' great work. And we're celebrating that today. We're coming to this communion rail in full acknowledgement that, yes, left to our own devices, we're pieces of work. But God so loved us, he gave his son. Come here with a free heart. Come here in the forgiveness of Jesus' blood and be encouraged in the refreshing of your faith. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.